Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking with a lady by the name of Wanda Novak today. We're going to be talking about why you never should say can't. Now, this is Wanda's memoir, and Wanda Novak, you're in Florida.
Yes, I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I went through your book, when I read it, I thought, this is a woman that has had a phenomenally interesting life. And before we went on air, you made the comment, you have had the best time living, more so than most people. Now, there's a picture of you here at Machu Picchu. You have done a great deal in your life, and we'll share with my audience some of those things that you've done. Wanda, why were you compelled to write this book? I mean, you didn't have to put anything down. Why was it important to you to reach people with it?
Well, I was called in by a group of people in Orlando, Florida, about 3 years ago, and they were asking me questions on how I made $1 million and how I did this and how I did that, and could I help them with whatever their problem was. And I just started answering questions to them, and when we finished up, one of the life coaches and business coaches that was there said, Wanda, why don't you put this down in a book? And I said, oh, I've thought about it a few times, but, you know, I just thought I should, you know, what do I know? I'm just an average person. And he said, no, you're not average. Look at all the people and that you were answering their questions, and it didn't make any difference what business they were in or what they were doing. You could answer their question. So that's how the book started, and 3.5 years later, mm-hmm. it was finished.
Well, I would say that you have had the good fortune of being able, one, to come up with through a very fine family. Your dad was just, and your mom both, just mm-hmm. very dynamic people, and their attitudes about life were very down to earth. Tell my audience the kind of background that you came from.
Well, my mother was a very well-educated person, and she started out as a teacher, and back in those days, you know, you could go to college for 3 months and then go to a rural school and teach.
Mm-hmm.
She did that, but her dream was to become a registered nurse. So she saved her money, taught school for a year or two, and then she went into nurses training. The school that she went to, they never had interns, so the seniors were able to learn what a lot of interns would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went on and did postgraduate work and became an anesthetist. And most people back in those days would stay around home. But she didn't. She left Iowa and went to Cook County Hospital in Chicago, and she did some public health nursing there as well as going on with anesthesia, and then she went to a big hospital in Houston. And about that time, the Depression was coming along, so she decided to go to work for the government. So she went to work for the government, did her anesthesia there, and went to different Indian hospitals around the central United States, and that's how she met my dad. And my dad had a fifth grade education, and I didn't think that was very much until the other day on the internet they had what eighth grade children had to know back then, and I mm-hmm. went, wow, I can't even answer these questions. So, and he had his folks, and he had lost, they had a trainload of cattle coming from Montana when the Depression hit, and they fed those cattle 2 farms and $65,000. And it took my dad to 1945 or 46 to get that all paid off
mm-hmm.
and to take care of his parents and hospital, deaths, funerals, and all that. And he just sat down and talked to me an awful lot. I spent a lot of time with my grandfather before he passed. But Dad always said, you know, you have to be responsible for your family. Don't ever lie to people. Look them in the eye, which is what how it came up. I came up with the first chapter, which is being present with people.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, always look around. You can find somebody that's in worse shape than you are. And don't forget to help your neighbors when they're down. And, you know, just a lot of things like that that were pretty much down home, down-to-earth values. And I guess I picked that up. And then my mom always said, work hard enough. Whenever you work for someone, it'll take them 5 minutes to replace you because anyone can be replaced in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of...
and then 5 minutes. I'll make it 5 minutes.
Yeah, and almost every place I've ever worked, they've replaced me with two people.
Mm-hmm.
And I always come in early, I leave late, and I don't leave until my work is done for the day if I have to be there 5-6 hours. That's just my work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's been fun because I have worked for so many people in so many different areas, and I'm the kind of person that I just want to learn everything I can learn when I go to work in a company. And when I was in advertising, I would know everybody in that corporation from the janitor on up to the president of the bank or the whatever business they were in.
See, Wanda, and that way, what I think you're saying right here is so significant to people because they need to understand that tough times happen. We're in a cycle where a lot of people are losing jobs. I was talking with a young man this morning who's associated with the automobile industry, and just here in the state of Washington, places, the people walked into work and automobiles, it was Nissan dealerships, and all of a sudden nobody had any job because there weren't any vehicles to sell. They'd all been taken off to pay for whatever. And it just, the people that have just lost their jobs have had no warning. And here you are stating some things that are very important because there are jobs out there where people are needed. And if they have to shift into something else to do whatever they need to do, these very qualities of character that you're talking about right now are significant because you take them wherever you go.
Yes, you do. And a lot of times, and, you know, back when I was married, my first husband, we were married 10 years. We moved 18 times. So I learned to swallow my ego.
Mm-hmm.
If I was an account executive at a leading advertising agency and we moved, I started out as a gopher at the next advertising agency and then moved up to vice president in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Basically because I'm willing to work and I'm willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to make a mistake and admit it.
Well, that's I think that's important.
Yes,
I think very important.
I think that's very important myself. And so I have just always worked that way, and I've always been willing to do what's necessary. I mean, when I was in Austin, Texas, John Wayne was making the Alamo, and I went to work as a secretary. Well, somebody would quit, and then I'd take on their job, and then somebody else would quit, and I'd take on their job. And one of them was an account executive to the first city magazine that was in the United States called Go Magazine. And John Wayne was making the Alamo down outside of San Antonio, Texas. Our client was named Happy Shahan, and they did Who Shot Liberty Vance and the Alamo and a couple other movies on his ranch. And so I would go down and interview them and talk to them about an article for Go Magazine. And, you know, it's just one thing led to another. So,
mm-hmm.
I just feel very comfortable with all people because, you know, like I was working for President Kennedy doing the PR in Austin when he died in Dallas. And then I went on to do work for Lyndon Johnson and Jake Pickle, who was running for Congress, and some of the senators. And they just, you know, one thing led to another. And I've just found everybody very good to me. And I think it was because I was willing to learn anything, you know. And so it's just qualifies you for anything. I made the remark to one of the ladies that interviewed me that I thought you could drop me in the middle of any town, any place in the United States, and I could find a job within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, it's a job. It's not a career.
Mm-hmm. And that's a distinction. There's a difference there. I loved one of the stories that you had. You were very much involved with the 4-H clubs when you were growing up, and you took care of animals, and I'm a great supporter of the 4-H because I think they teach wonderful things to young people, and the parents that are involved are just very dedicated to it. But the kids are held accountable, and they're responsible for what they do. And this was something you did. You raised calves. You were able to, at 10 years of age, and people hearing this probably would gasp, but you were left in a hotel by yourself in a city that was a good deal away from where you lived, but your father went in and he talked to the people at the front desk. They explained why you were there and that they were to keep an eye on you. And you felt perfectly safe. My goodness. So you make a comment in your book, they probably have your parents arrested for child abuse today. And I think how things have changed. You know, we've got, in my opinion, gotten to be so wimpy with our kids, we don't realize that kids just really can be very, very responsible. They want to be. And you have to trust them. And your parents left you there. Your mom called you, made sure everything was okay, and that you were taking care of all kinds of the things that you needed to take care of because you had to show up for an exhibition the next day. And they had to leave you there. I mean, there was no way of going home and coming back because of the travel distance. And by golly, you just were able to put $5,000 after selling the calves. And this is in 1945. And you said the median income in 1945 was $2,379 per family. This is according to the Census Bureau. You were able that day because of what you learned, what your father had taught you, what you did in the way of work, the 4-H, et cetera. That was $5,000 you were able to put in your own bank account.
Right.
And you sold your calves for an amount, but the median income today, equivalent to that, would be $50,000 for a family, and a champion calf would sell for $100,000 to $225,000 today or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your point is a good one. You had the opportunity to learn good sales skills. Your dad didn't play games with you in the sense of trying to sugarcoat things, but he also was a very wise man. He would talk to you, and he realized that you were a young person, but there were things that you need to know, and you were very practically, you know, very practical and down-to-earth in the upbringing environment, and your mother was the same way, and it really carried over into your adult life.
Well, and I think another thing that I learned, they were not church people, but they believed in helping and giving, and I don't know, is it okay to tell the rest of the story?
Sure.
Well, at Christmas time, this was in October, and at Christmas time, I looked at the situation that, you know, my dad had bought the calves, I'd fed his corn, and granted, I spent 4 to 5 hours a day every day with the calves. But I realized that he had an investment too. So for Christmas, I bought a shotgun and a hunting dog, and I put in some money into bonds. And then I gave I kept some money back for my mom and dad's birthday and their anniversary. And then I split the rest of it, which was I think $2,000. And I gave Mom $2,000 in a Christmas card, and I gave Dad $2,000 in a Christmas card.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept the rest back for gifts for them. So I think it's important that you give back, and that's what I'm trying to do now is to give back, and I want to go. I've created a seminar called Yes, You Can, so I can go teach these 9 incredible tools that are in the book to people who really want to have a good relationship with their children, with their spouse, with their employer, or if they want to make $1 million. These are skills that they can use that I've used 3 times.
Now, you have had so many interesting aspects to career. I mean, you have been, like you mentioned, in banking, advertising. You've been in broadcasting, PR, real estate, property appraisal. You've been involved in farming and ranching, which we've discussed, very veterinarian work, business consulting, you just mentioned training and coaching that you're doing, investments, commodities, stock brokering. You were the first woman salesman selling TV ad time in the interior United States.
Right.
And it was a man's ball game, as you describe it, and you became a top seller. What was that like for you?
Well, I just love a challenge. So I just, I was offered the position by a gentleman, Stalnicker is his name. There is a dormitory or something, I think, at Iowa State. He was a real innovator. I learned a lot from him, but he had the first woman salesperson. He had the first black salesperson. He had the first woman anchor. He had a black anchor. He had the first woman production manager, first woman continuity writer. He really wanted to expose everybody that would be interested in what he did. And one of the things that he did, I think that a lot of broadcasters might do if they don't do now, he would take the sales department in every year, and he would tell us what the other stations had done in gross income. And then he would tell us what we had to do. And these were the tools that he was going to let us use. And I don't know, I've worked at other stations, and I've even partially owned one. And I've never had anybody as a general manager come forth and say, this is what the competition has done, this is what you did, this is what I want you to do this year, and this is how I want you to do it. You know, I mean, that's mm-hmm. a fabulous education right there.
Oh, I think it's great. I think you were very fortunate in that respect.
It's just been my life.
Yes, and I think it's important. You talked about the 9 power tools. Presence,
yep.
Purpose, passion, principles, promises, persistence, partners, pliability, and planning.
Mm-hmm.
And all 9 of those are very, very important. And with you, you entered into so many areas that were a first, like the AWRT. You became, that's the American Women in Radio and Television, and you got into that when it was on the ground floor, just developing. But you yourself were quite a pioneer, and then you ended up getting married, and you were divorced eventually from your husband, but you had a wonderful boy named Jay, who was a very
yeah.
significant part of your life. Tell us a little bit about Jay.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I think he was a 40-year-old midget. But I didn't know anything about raising children. I mean, they had to show me how to change a diaper when we left the hospital. That's how dumb I was. So I didn't know that children were anything but just there for you to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always had open communication with him, and we played a lot of fun games when he was little. And then when I started getting into making money and setting goals, and I sat down with him because he was my partner.
Mm-hmm.
It was just he and I against the world. And I told him what I expected of him, and I told him what he could expect of me. And these were some of the things that he could help me with. And I know this probably sounds really cruel, but I told him that he couldn't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he got sick, with what my schedule was, I really couldn't take off and take care of him. I would provide him with the best care, but he couldn't get sick. And so he never got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down when he was 4. Now, I don't know if you have children. Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Well, you can maybe remember when they were 4. And he sat down and planned every year of his life until he was 41.
Holy Joseph.
Yes.
I don't know of any kid that's done that.
And when he was 6 years old, he was driving a truck and a tractor, helping me on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was 8 years old, I got him to sit down with me. And when I paid bills, he checked the check against the stub on the bill and put it in the envelope and put the stamp on it. And I had to put him into a private school because the public school people were having troubles with him, and because the only person he could communicate with was the teacher. So I put him in a private school because the teacher said, I don't know what to do with him because he's traveled with you and been on so many adventures with you. If I have to leave the room, I can leave him in charge, and the kids don't get out of order. He keeps order. He tells them one of the adventures that he's been on, and they just sit there mesmerized. But she said if I ask him to spell a word, he says, I don't have to learn how to spell. My secretary will spell.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way, at that time, you didn't use calculators in school, and if they'd ask him to do a math problem, he'd say, well, give me a calculator. So he was getting to be a problem, and I put him in a great private school in Omaha that no longer exists. But he could not really write his name at age 8. And all of a sudden, and I forgot to tell you that the school teacher said, you know, he can tell me what it costs to raise an acre of corn. He can tell me what it costs to raise an acre of soybeans. He can tell me what it costs to raise a calf. He can tell me what the commodities market's doing, what silver and gold is doing. And she said, most of the time I don't even know what he's talking about. So kids are really smart.
They
and
are.
You just have to give them their heads.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes think that if I never sent him to school, he'd probably be doing just fine, you know.
Well,
and,
probably not, because probably with what you did, your openness in communicating with him, in not hiding anything, if money had to go out and it had to be dealt with, that's what you definitely share in your book, you just leveled with him. And he'd say, okay, you know, and he handled it. And I think that's where we underestimate kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the biggest failings that parents have is to say, I don't want them to go through anything like I've gone through. I want everything perfect for them. There's no such thing as perfect.
And no, and it just makes them weak, and
mm-hmm.
it makes them expectant on the parents. That's why we're having children graduating from college, and mom sometimes goes in and talks to the boss. I mean, I would just be absolutely embarrassed to death if I had a child that you needed to
mm-hmm.
do that with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not putting anybody down in the audience, but they just are smart. And I tell you what, he had his own checking account when he was 8, and he could land my airplane when he was 9, because if I got up there and something happened, he'd have to land the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
You know, he just never, ever thought anything about it, you know. And a lot of things we made games, like, you know, some of the exercises that you do in an airplane, like we'd have one called roller coaster, and we had another one called rock the baby, and it was just all his getting familiar with the airplane and what could happen to it and how you could change it and how you could correct whatever went wrong. So he was, you know, he was just a, and he also went to the bank when I borrowed money, and he went to the bank when I paid it off.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what you did. You involved him. Now, I do know that Jay passed away.
Yes.
And there's quite a story in your book, and I won't go into too much detail because I think people should get your book to read it with the various things you went through.
Thank you.
Your dad, one of the most difficult moments in your life was when your dad passed away, and you evolved through that. But what I found so interesting is that your son saw his grandfather after he had passed away. And so he never ever felt, you know, badly. He missed him. But it's like, gee, he's right here. I talk to him all the time. It's not a big deal. Then you ended up, after a very disastrous marriage, you ended up later on, many years later, meeting a wonderful man that whose name was Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
And you ended up being married, and tragically, he went through, after a few years of marriage, he went through some difficult times, and there was a sad event that occurred with him. But you always keep landing on your feet, Wanda, like a cat. And a lot of people would say, with what you have gone through, why didn't you give up? You know, it would have been a lot easier to just ignore things. But you have a chapter in your book titled True Grit, and that is just something that seems to be a part of you, that true grit.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with my upbringing. I mean, my folks were really that way. You know, my dad, you know, with figure skating and all the different things that I did, when I was tap dancing and, you know, all the things that mom would say, well, she needs extra coaching. And dad would always say, okay, I'll make the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, I went through a really bad financial thing in Texas, and I had a friend say to me, well, Wanda, just get a job. And I went, well, sure, why don't I get a job instead of keep doing what I was doing? So I got a job, and that's something that Dad would have said to me, well, get yourself a job. Mm-hmm. He was the kind of guy that never needed a job because he was in the cattle business and also did farming. And, you know, he would just trade in more cattle. And so that's just basically what you have to do. You have to look around, see what you do best, and then go do it. And somebody will pay you if you do it well.
Mm-hmm. You talk in here about your near-death experience where your mother, in fact, was very upset with you because when you came out, you saw a nun and you made the statement to the nun, lady, you've got the funniest-looking clothes on of anyone I've ever seen. And your mother was very upset with that.
Oh,
but,
yes.
You didn't know any better. And this is quite an interesting experience that you had that made you aware that your life was going to be one that was going to be lived with gusto.
Well, I think it also, you know, I always had the idea from the very beginning that I wasn't a body. And I think that kind of proved it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really never thought I would ever live very long because all of the females on both sides of my family didn't make it to 50. So that's why I didn't care. I rode broncs, I raced cars, you know. I just, whatever I felt like doing, I've done. And I've had a lot of fun doing it. And, you know, I've crashed and burned quite a few times because I've had like 53 broken bones. But, you know, I just bounce back and I get better and I just go on and either perfect it or, you know, I just have a lot of fun and I'm very curious. And so if there's something I don't know about, I try to investigate it to the best I can. And I've studied spirituality. I've been to a lot of the main spiritual meccas around the planet. And I just, I learned something. I meet somebody there. I learn more. And, you know, it's just putting yourself out there and not thinking in the box. You have to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people need to do right now is start thinking out of the box with jobs and with the economy the way it is. I've had people come into my office that, you know, one was a used car salesman. Well, now he's got a cleaner's route. Well, the cleaning company will give him $20 for every new customer that he gets. So he's got a sister-in-law that's sitting at home calling all these people every night, and then he goes by and picks up the laundry or picks up the cleaning, delivers it, brings it back. And, you know, it's just, and I said to him the other day, I said, who would have ever thought that you'd be making money doing this instead of selling cars? And he said, well, you know, I had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just, it's just funny that you have to think outside the box. If you have the basic talents of being a salesperson or being a teacher or whatever it is, there are people out there that need tutoring if you're a teacher. There's also some schools out there that people are sending their kids to that they're having trouble with. I don't know what you call it in your neck of the woods, but, you know, we have it down here. We have it in Texas. There's just all kinds of things. I mean, you can just go on the Internet and get thousands of ideas because the kids are just going crazy with YouTube and Twitter and all that other. And people are also thinking outside the box. There's something that someone wants something done. And all you have to do is just watch. Like, I've just come up with another idea that I'm going to probably get on the Internet, and it's called Bumper Talk of America. And it's just for people who have frustrations with what's going on in Washington, D.C., and they're fun. They're funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they're red, white, and blue, and it's going to go on the Internet pretty soon. And, you know, I was just thinking about how frustrated people are. You know, I listen to talk radio, and people are frustrated. So I thought, well, maybe they'll get a smile out of this. And yet I'll make a statement.
Wanda, we're just about out of time, dear. What is your website so we can go to the website and check out more information?
You. It's Never Say Can't with no apostrophe. It's just C-A-N-T. Never capital, say capital, C, can't, capital, no apostrophe, .com.
Great. Well, Wanda, You're a fascinating lady. You have so many more stories that you share in your book, Never Say Can't. It's a memoir of your very successful life with its downs as well as the ups. And I really appreciate the openness and the clarity that you have in what you've written. It's very much like you're sitting right across a kitchen table talking with someone and sharing cookies and a cup of coffee, and I really think that's a great way to present information. I want to thank you for being my guest. Don't forget her website is Never Say Can't, no apostrophe in can't, neversaycan't.com. A fascinating lady, a very interesting book to read about times and life on many different levels that I know you'd enjoy. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Don't forget, Wanda Novak, Never Say Can't.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open for the next half hour, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to do that. I'd like to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the direct telephone number worldwide that you can call in to, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you've not done it before, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me, after I give you my information, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you want to ask me. So it's very simple. Just give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you living in Western Washington, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair is coming up, yes, this weekend and the following two. The first weekends in August are when this wonderful event takes place. It's for the family, and I have some free passes that I can pass along to you. So if you will send me an email This is being held in Buckley at the Maris Farms. If you'll send me an email or call my office, I'll make sure that I get a ticket off to you. We're going to have a hot weekend, so it's going to be bright and sassy and lots of things going on for the first weekend of this wonderful event. And you go to WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, R-E-N-S-A-I-R-E, and you'll get all the particulars. But if you want that free family pass, get in touch with me, and I'll pop it in the mail to you so you'll have it quickly. If you send me an email, send it to Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com, and then be sure to put something in the subject line, contest, free pass to Ren Fair, something like this, and just put it with the little asterisk, you know, the little mark, the exclamation point, the showing me that this is urgent, because here we are, it's coming up, the event is coming up. So I've got some of these free passes, and if you'd like to get one, I would love to be able to send it to you, because I've been involved with these people for, oh my goodness, 7-8 years now, and the event is so magical. And of course, everybody's in costume, and I'm going to be in costume too, and all you need to do is to look for my booth, which will have huge yellow banners with gigantic red lions on them, and that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be giving some mini consultations and interacting with those of you that you come, and then there will be some other items that I will have in the booth as well, some TTAP information, etc. So do come along, say hello. I would love to meet you. So Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Oh, almost forgot. My direct office number, if you want to call me regarding the pass, is 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. Today, we talked with a woman whose life is a very interesting one. She deals with all kinds of different environments, conditions, careers, and is successful. But what if you were a person that was without vision? What do you think you could do? What would you be involved with? Well, tomorrow's guest, A.V. Shrivner, is a woman that went to a level of music and dance that most people would never have expected she would be able to do. And we're going to be talking about her creative moments in symmetry tomorrow. And then on Thursday, blue collar and proud of it, Joe LaMaccia is going to be with me. He is a wonderful man, and he's going to be talking about the workforce, jobs, education, what is available for someone if you don't feel like you're college material. That doesn't mean you're a flunky failure. Not at all. There's a lot to look forward to. And I need to let you know that on Friday, my guest, Brian Herbert, we're going to be talking about the sequel to Dune. This one is called The Winds of Dune. Well, the showtime has, for the interview, there had to be a shift in the schedule, so we are going to be interviewing Brian in August, and we'll be sending out that information via the Internet through the listing on BBS and also through my newsletter. But we are having to reschedule him. So on Friday, it's going to be an open mic hour. So we'll have the entire hour open for your phone calls if you desire. So again, on Friday, that schedule change has changed. Like I said, it has changed because of circumstances beyond our control. And we're just letting you know well in advance. I wanted to chat about some things. This is a perfect time of the year to do home improvements. Now, here in the Pacific Northwest, we all think we're going to be fricasseed before the end of the week's heat wave that we've got. We'll manage to survive it. But we're just not accustomed to having 95, almost 100-degree temperatures. Now, I understand some people in California, in Northern California, you're going through the pretty much the same thing with a few degrees extra, about 102. Well, it does sort of take a lot out of you, but the truth is, if you're going to paint, if you're going to be doing anything, having good weather is very, very important. Well, I came across some real good information. If you're wanting to do some home improvements, and these are some points of information, they say so often people end up finding that their projects are going to cost them a lot more than what they usually expect. Now, let's just take 8 different points. How about bathrooms, kitchens, a deck, a room addition, basement finishing, new windows, interior painting, and or major landscaping. So just take any one of them. Let's do a bathroom remodeling. In a survey that was done, they found that 60% of people went over budget in doing their bathrooms. Why? They often would change their plans. They found that maybe their plumbing needed to be upgraded. And also there were structural problems. When walls started coming out, it was like, oh my goodness, who used this duct tape to keep this in place? So this is something people found that they'd have to go in and make corrections. So if you can, when you're making plans for anything, try to work with someone that can help you see what you might end up encountering. And lots of times if you have an older house, oh, you'll find things you never dreamed that you would find. Some friends of ours went and remodeled their kitchen, which is the second most popular thing to do, and they found that they had a family of rats that had been keeping them company for a long time. So they had a very interesting series of experiences because that rat managed to get into their oven and then into the piping that went up into the attic. It was quite an adventure, finally cornering the critter and being able to figure out how they had gotten in, and they were in a house that was a good 75 years old. So 56 of people, when they're trying to do their kitchen, they go over, 56% go over, and usually it's a fair chunk of change. It's like $1,200 or more. Again, people changing their minds. Also, contractors that underbid the cost of labor, and again, dealing with plumbing, with wiring. You know, sometimes if you're in a house, again, an older house, like some friends of ours, when they went to do some remodeling, their home was almost 100 years old. Well, the husband was very resourceful, and he was going to be upgrading all of this different wiring in the house. And so he found when he got up into the attic that he touched the wiring that was insulated wiring. It was so old that when he just barely touched it, all of the insulation fell off. And so he called a contractor to come out and look at it, and he said, oh, boy, you've got to totally redo wiring throughout your entire house. In fact, it was so sensitive that when the fellow was trying, one fellow came in to evaluate the chimney in their house. Did it need to be reinforced? What were they going to do? And they found that the mortar in the chimney was crumbling, and so that was going to have to be secured in some way. And the first thing the guy did, he said, turn off all the electricity in your house. And he said, why? He said, well, the house this old, he said, I have gone into chimneys checking things, and I have almost been electrocuted. So he said, there are these energies that are just going through this wiring, and they jump. And with body moisture and friction, he said, I don't want to attract anything that's going to do me in. So you just don't know what's going to be happening. A deck addition, again, cost of material. They could increase on you all of a sudden. Special tools. 45% of people that put on decks, especially if they changed the plans, ended up going over budget. It wasn't that much. It was on the average about $700. But room additions, again, changed plans are the biggest issue here. And also underestimating labor costs and cost of materials if they happen to go up. And all of us are going into the store and finding things are becoming more and more expensive. So if there's something that you think you're going to be doing fairly soon, and there's a lot of good sales going on, keep your eyes open. If you're wanting to wait until you find somebody that's going out of business and they're selling buku amount of lumber or certain supplies or flooring materials, check it out. But really see and talk with some people that are knowledgeable about this because they can save you money. But it usually costs, when they add a room, an area, it's about $2,000 more than expected. Basements, usually about $1,300 to $1,400. And again, it's upgrading everything. New windows, usually it costs more than what's expected. Water damage is one of the things that may cause additional costs. Why? Because maybe you've got water that's been dripping inside of a window frame. You have no idea, so you're going to have to do repair work. These are some of the things that can happen. So be prepared as best as you can and always allow a little bit of extra, but do some checking. I've got some other good tips I want to share with you because this is something we've gone through, my husband and I, and, of course, some very, very dear friends, and why not pass along the tips? If it can save you money, I think it's great. If you'd like to chat with me, this is the telephone number to call, 888-815-9756. That's 888 815-975-6. Give me a call. Otherwise, I'll share more information with you about some things that may save you some money if you're going to do any remodeling. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be talking with you again in just a moment. Don't go away.
Hip, hip, huzzah!
My lords and ladies, come one, come all, to the 11th Annual Washington Renaissance Fair at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington, during the first three weekends in August, beginning August 1st. Bring family and friends to become part of the excitement, cheering for your favorite knight as he jousts for noble causes. Gain an audience with Her Majesty the Queen as she knights young lords and ladies, or enjoy a tankard of ale and a turkey leg, experiencing the wonders of the Renaissance.
Live the legend!
Gates open 10 o'clock.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. And we'll be open for your call if you'd like to chat with me. I'd be delighted to do that. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or initials. Now, what if you are going to be doing something? Let's say you're going to put on an addition. The biggest issue, and as I was sharing things with you before we went on break, the biggest issue is don't change your plans. And one of the things is you need to get somebody that really, if you're going to do any kind of work, I just love it when people say, oh, my husband's going to do all of this. Let me tell you, you better have some plans laid out. And one of the things that we found that's so important to consider, if you're going to be doing any shifts in a kitchen, if you're going to be doing anything in your bathrooms, if you're going to be expanding an office or a room, think about the wiring. Lots of times people don't give that a consideration. And we learned with our office, we have two offices, and one of the offices, that's where our primary computer center is. And so we had to have someone come in and put in extra wiring because of the energy needed. And we learned from this electrician that often fires could be caused inside of walls if you didn't have the proper wiring. Also, it could cause a corruption within your equipment. So these are things that if you're going to be looking at what you need to do for a home, think about these things and make a list of questions. Go and do some research, maybe on the web. Or if you know somebody that's in building, be sure that they're not one of these people that are cheapskates where they want to do everything just as inexpensively or as cheaply as possible. Because you really want to have good wiring. Have you ever been in a house that when you turned on the washing machine, all the lights in the living room went on? Or there is an energy surge that affects your television when something is going on upstairs in the kids' room? So this means that the wiring is severely outdated. The same thing can occur with plumbing. If you're going to be doing a bathroom or you're going to be remodeling your kitchen, you really need to seriously think about the materials that you're going to be using because it will make a difference. And today, in today's world, plastic is something that a lot of people like to use, but maybe dependent on the type of water you have, that may or may not be the best thing. So you need to go around and ask some questions. It's better to take a little bit more time, do your homework, find out what you need to know, and then get it done correctly. A friend of ours, I just got an email from her this morning, her house, they had some very severe damage to the roof due to one of the storms here in the Pacific Northwest. She lives up in the northern area of Seattle, and they had to come in, remove her entire roof, and structurally recompose some of the areas in the roofing, and they were putting in insulation. And she said, my goodness, the difference when we walked in that house, one, sound level was so much less than what it had been before, but she said, we, with all these hot temperatures, Donna, she said, we have really been enjoying a very cool interior to the home. So you really need to be sure that when you're making plans, take time to examine things. If you've noticed any water damage, maybe there's a pipe leaking. If ever you had a pipe leak in your walls and all of a sudden you find a part of the wall collapsing and you go, where did that come from? And the plumber says to you, well, you've had a leaky pipe for the past 10 years. You didn't even know it. You had no way of knowing it. All of these things are going to have to be corrected. So you want to look for water-stained walls, which can indicate a leaky roof, sawdust along your baseboards, which could indicate some termites. And you need to be aware whenever you've got a contract with someone to do some work for you. Have your insurance, but you should also have a clause in that contract for unforeseen conditions. And make sure that you know about the housing inspectors and you want to know exactly what those costs are going to be for the person that's giving you the bid. And you want to know about work permits, what's going to be required, and make sure that they show you that they've got everything needed to do whatever needs to be done. And a red flag, if ever you get a contractor, and again, don't think cheap is the best, but if you get a contractor that says you're going to have to get your own permits, you better pay attention, because according to some specialists, that is a red flag. That is not a good contractor. You want to make sure they get the contractor because this person is probably not licensed to do the work. And you want to make sure you check references, making sure the contractor has an up-to-date license, as I just said, insurance, including workers' comp. And you want to have somebody go over that contract with you to make sure that you've got everything covered. It should list every product down to the model number. They say, in this survey that was done regarding people that had done work in their homes, more than 1,600 people had complained about incidentals that were not given to them in that contract about what was going to need to be done. These were things, oh, gee whiz, we needed to add this. No, you have everything in writing, and it ends up costing, if you're not careful, a few hundred dollars extra. So you need to be wise. You really, really do. And sometimes if you can just talk to some people that have some experience, they've gone through certain things. One of our neighbors, when he was building his home, he found a particular book, and I really wish I could tell you what it was because I don't remember. I didn't write it down. This was about 12 years ago. And by golly, you know, he went through that checklist because he found people were not doing their jobs. But in going through that checklist, this book, this manual, you could go right down the line with each level of work. He was building a home from the ground up. And do you know what? By the time they finished that home, it was in tip-top shape. And it passed the house inspector's investigation with flying colors because he knew what to look for and how to look for it. So there are those manuals out there, and maybe all you need to do is ask questions and find out where you can get one. Donna Siebel here. I know we're just about out of time. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to find out how someone with a disability, with a little music, created dance and created a career that affects not only her life, but the lives of everyone that she comes in contact with. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. When life presents you a challenge, look at it as an opportunity to reach for that star that maybe you haven't had the time nor the opportunity to be able to reach for. Why not? What have you got to lose? Life is your oyster. You got to open it up, though, to find the pearl inside. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be right here at the same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.